Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you so much. Welcome back, everybody. Nice to have you with us here on Close Up Talk Radio. Today, we're going to be talking about leadership and the effect that good leadership within a company, the effect that it can have on a company and the company's bottom line. There's a lot to this subject, and we have a really very, very good special guest with us who's going to talk to us about it. Her name is Lisa Edmondson. She is a leadership coach, and she is the founder of a company called Leadership Reno for renovation of leadership. I think that's really what it's all about. Her goal is to convince organizations to redefine the characteristics of successful people leaders, to recalibrate the metrics used to measure their success, and raise awareness about the severity of the consequences that result when organizations don't get it right. Toxic leaders and bullying in the workplace have really become a global pandemic that is a key contributor to the Great Resignation, which, as you know, is going on all over the place. Unequivocally, people leaders have the most influential role in an organization when it comes to employee engagement and productivity. They can make or break the success of a company or organization. For instance, when people leaders engage with their employees with authenticity, with genuine empathy, self-awareness, and strong communication skills, they can inspire personal and professional growth and the results in the innovation and productivity that positively impact the bottom line. Lisa believes that great people leaders are the solution to a company's struggling with disengaged and disconnected workforce. A leader who puts their people first creates an optimistic, collaborative workplace destined for success. Well, that's what we're going to be talking about. Lisa Edmondson is headquartered in Atlanta, Georgia, where it's a beautiful day today in Atlanta, and it's a real delight to have Lisa with us. I think she's on to something here, and we're going to talk to her and find out how she got into this. Lisa, welcome. Good morning. Good afternoon. Nice to have you with us today. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing well. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you with us, and this is a great subject to be talking about. It's something, you know, we don't talk about very often. Toxic leaders really can have a detrimental effect on a company's bottom line and on the whole atmosphere around the company. There's no question about that. Let me talk to you about what made you realize this and what got you into this to begin with. I gather you worked at some companies where you saw how poor leadership really was a problem with the success of the company firsthand. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. And sadly, pretty much every person I speak with about this topic has their own personal experience. So that's kind of what tells me that this is not just, you know, a singular occurrence. This is kind of an epidemic. But yeah, so I had worked at a company for many years and had led a team of really high-performing employees. And we were at that, you know, that part of the cycle where, you know, everything works like clockwork. You know, everyone knows what they're supposed to do, how to do it, where to go, and that kind of thing. So it was just, you know, flowing along really well. We were able to innovate and come up, you know, with new ideas because we didn't have to worry about the, you know, the daily mundane, you know, things those tasks were just, you know, second nature. So we were able to, you know, evolve, even though we had been working together, you know, as a team for many years. So what happened was we, over the years, and I had been with this team for almost 11 years, and they kind of helped me evolve as well as a leader. And so we learned from each other, and I think that kind of really opened my eyes to leadership and, you know, the significance of that type of role within a company. And just the, you know, just the way it multiplies in spades when your employees are happy and engaged and productive and, you know, feel like they're, you know, a valuable member of the team and so forth. So built a good team. They, you know, built me up to be a better leader. And then we got new management within our department, and it very quickly eroded. Basically, the new leader wasn't very trusting of myself and others, and it came out in how that how we played together, basically. And so it just literally within 6 months, the department kind of disintegrated, or my team basically did, and I was out the door. And so that really is what kind of catapulted me into this whole, wait a minute, this isn't right. This isn't, there's got to be a way to fix this. And so in my head, I'm thinking, how can I help others avoid going through what I went through? And so that began my journey with Leadership Reno.
Well, I know you've had an almost 30-year career in the corporate arena, in a variety of different positions. You've worked with great leaders, and as you just pointed out, you worked with some that were anything but great. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Correct.
Let me ask you, what made you make the decision to form this company to try and help other leaders in companies, large and small, anywhere they may be, that maybe they could use some help in their leadership, their leadership qualities and the way they work with their employees. What's your overall goal? I mean, you want companies to bring you in or to work with the leaders, mm-hmm. and you think the leaders are going to contact you? They don't know they're not doing a good job, do they?
Right.
For the most part.
Right. Well, and that's part of the conundrum, and that was kind of what led me down this path that I ended up on, because it, my original intention was not to, try and save the world, basically, from toxic leaders, but it was really to help others who were in a position similar to what I had been in, where I had no recourse, I had no one to go to help me. HR was not, supportive of me, and so I wanted to help other people who found themselves in that position. And just doing a lot of research, I met a lot of people in this space who have been, for years, been trying to help, upgrade the leadership bar, and have just learned so much from them. And so basically, as I learned more and more, the more information I had, the more I thought, wow, I really need to share this with other people. And so, like I said, started my company and created a website to help share this information with others, make it available to them, because it really is, ironically, not a new thing. Toxic leaders have been around for decades, but I think there is a lot of insight and data that has now gone into the study of leaders and what makes a great leader versus a toxic leader. And so we have that information available to us now that we can leverage to kind of help others select the right leaders, because I think what's happening is, and what I've realized through my research, is that the leaders that we're often putting in people leader roles currently don't have the characteristics that are necessary to lead other people. And by that I mean they often are simply the best salesperson previously, or they were the person who came up with this great innovative idea that the company leveraged for profitability, for example. But there's really some fundamental characteristic traits that are often innate to a person that really can determine whether or not they will be a good people leader. And those aren't the same things that executives are looking for when they hire leaders. So, so to answer your question, my goal is to help educate, the C-suite, basically, of the world, to bring to light the characteristics that they should be looking for when they're hiring their people leaders, and the characteristics that make for bad people leaders. And and there's tools out there that they can use to evaluate whether or not they think they have good people leaders in place. I think part of that, the problem is that, you know, because obviously C-suite have a lot of other things to deal with, some of this stuff happens, under, behind the scenes, and they're not aware of it. So there are tools that, they can implement to help them, discover if they have any type of toxic leaders within their organization.
Let's talk a little bit about toxic leaders, and then we'll talk about how you can help in your. I mean, you got a great idea. There's no question here. And Leadership Reno really stands for renovation or reform, leadership reform. Mm-hmm. Give me some examples that you yourself have experienced as to what made a leader toxic or what made a leader do the wrong thing that, that was really so detrimental to the company's success. Could you pick some examples of what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, that's a very good question. Yeah, that's a very good question because, I think a large portion of them aren't doing it intentionally. I don't think, a leader is going into it and thinking, I'm going to be mean to this person or I want to pick on this person, for example. It's really more an internal trigger, basically, come to find out that, toxic leaders, the reason why they are quote-unquote toxic is because they more often than not are have some narcissistic tendencies. So, for example, their main priority is their visibility, their success, their career trajectory. It's not their people, how their people are feeling, how their people, show up for work, for example. So it's really a little bit more, self-centered. And the reason why that comes out as toxic is because they use other methods or means, for example, to try and get their employees to get in line and do what I say, the way that I say, to do it, and so forth. And so it ended up backfiring because they're not really focused on the person who works for them. They're more focused on numbers, productivity, that type of value. And so they end up forgetting about the human being behind the productivity. And so that is often, where these toxic leaders kind of, emerge is from that perspective. They're not considering the other people as being their most valuable asset. Like I said, it's often about numbers, which I absolutely get. But I also know that if you, inspire the best in your team of employees, they will get you to the numbers that you're looking for because, it sounds cliche, but happy people are productive. And so it's just trying to just make it very evident to, the decision makers in the organization that you don't have to have the most outgoing, best speaker or highest performer salesperson, for example, as your people leaders. You really need to look deeper than that. And you can still keep those high performers in the best salesperson, for example, in executive roles, but just don't make them people leaders. That takes a different personality, and we just haven't been looking for that. Up to this point as a community. So I think that's my goal is, kind of redefining what people leaders, what those characteristics look like and trying to educate, the decision makers that that their profits will, increase. I know that's their main concern, if they have the right people leaders in place who motivate their employees. Yep.
Well, let's talk a little bit about how you're going to go about doing this. You have a great website, by the way. The website is Leadership Reno, R-E-N-O.com. And if you go there, you can look at a lot of the blogs that, that our guest does, and then Lisa does, and writes. You can look at a section of tools in the trade, of course, her background and things of that nature. But I think the challenge I hear is how do you get entree into a company to help leaders learn that they could be doing a better job? What's the plan? How do you do that? How would you answer?
Yeah, that's the conundrum, quite frankly, because I have thought about this for a year or more, because in my mind, I need to talk to the CEO. That's who I need to convince, of this pattern and this change. But I can't really get a seat at the table with a lot of CEOs. They're kind of busy. So really what I have done is, quite frankly, collaborated with other leaders in this industry, and we're just trying to do a kind of a grassroots campaign to just get the word out, make people aware, through podcasts. A couple of my co-conspirators, I call them, have books, about leadership and, similar topics. And so we're just kind of combining forces to try and get the word out. I mean, ideally, I would love to be able to, just knock on the door and the CEO would see the value in, what I'm suggesting. But it's a lot harder than that. So, yeah, it's really just trying to get the word out, get the message out, and hopefully someone somewhere along the way will, will take a bite and, will have someone at a higher level than myself who can help us champion the cause.
Do you think it would pay if employees of a company were to contact you and to complain about their bosses and say maybe you should make an approach to them? I don't know. I'm trying to think with you here how you get a leader who's not doing a very good job to be willing to open the door and let you come in and talk to them. Would you do that if someone came to, or if the CEO said come in and talk to me, and then he would assign you to go talk to some of their leaders that he felt, could use some help? Would that be the ideal way to do it?
Yeah, ideally it would be, the CEOs. I mean, there's a lot that we can do from the bottom up for sure. But for it to be, part of company culture, it really has to come from the top down. Of course, the employees, I absolutely, consult with employees almost on a daily basis about this topic, but there's only so much that we can do at the employee level. So it's somehow, trying to get that message, escalated up to the higher ups that, take a look at your people, leaders, and have them evaluated. And there's a simple method to do that. It's not like they have to, insert some, learning curriculum that takes months or years or, whatever. I mean, there's tools already out there to evaluate people leaders and to get honest feedback from employees. For example, if a company uses a third-party consulting firm to employ an engagement survey at the company, it comes out in those engagement surveys that, those people leaders that have problems with their employees, because management is it's one of the sections of that survey that employees are asked about. And so there are ways to, find out if there are problem areas. And then there are also companies out there who use that information to then go in and consult, the poor performers, for example. So it's not, and I think you'll find on my website, there's not, I originally started this journey to, create courseware, to help people, learn about this topic. But then the more and more I learned and the more people I met, I realized, wait, this is already out there. All this content is already out there. The tools are already out there. The resources are already out there. There's people out there who've been fighting this battle for years. So instead, you'll find my website, quite frankly, just points people to other websites and other tools and other resources. And because they're currently available and they've, like I said, been in the space for years. And they have, a lot of information and knowledge and, like I said, tools to help with the cause, but I think, you know, just bringing awareness to it is really kind of where I fit into the puzzle at this point. Like I said, it's not a new problem. It's just, I feel like we need to revisit it because the Great Resignation has created a whole different dynamic, a whole new dynamic to this equation that didn't exist before due to so many more people working remotely than ever before. That dynamic itself, quite frankly, gives employees more choices, and that's, you know, that's what how they're speaking up is by leaving toxic leaders because they more choices now.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. Yep. Let's talk about some of the issues that are a problem. I mentioned workplace bullying. Give me an example of bullying in the workplace. How would you describe that? I mean, it can take many different forms, but talk a little bit about that.
It can, and it's so sad to hear people talk about it because it sounds just like, you know, typical playground behavior from when you were a child. But it really does happen that way, and it happened to me as well. It's, you know, sabotage, for example, you know, a person or a leader will, you know, set up an employee, and the quote-unquote victim of a bully is called a target. And so I'll use that terminology moving forward, but the toxic person, toxic leader, will set up the employee to fail. So they will manipulate information, manipulate data, manipulate meetings, manipulate feedback, any number of scenarios to kind of create a narrative that isn't realistic and end up making that person so miserable that they typically quit. They often leave on their own. But there's no repercussion for the leader who is responsible for that. So that's one way. But mostly it's making the person miserable in any way they can. And so I've even heard scenarios where a leader will actually call someone out in a meeting and, you know, accuse them of something that wasn't real or, you know, didn't happen. Or a leader will take credit for something that the employee did and not ever add their name to the dotted line as far as, you know, taking ownership. So it's really a form of manipulation, really, that is what seems to be the most popular form of bullying, because it can fly under the radar. It's not noticeable to many other people around them, and it definitely isn't noticeable to their leaders. And so that's why it often seems like the company is, you know, allowing it when, quite frankly, they just don't know that it's happening.
That's very interesting. Yeah, I can see that can be very detrimental to a company and an employee. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the leader's trying to get them to leave, trying to force. What about sexual harassment? Is that a major issue, do you think, in a lot of companies, or not?
It is. But you know, there are laws against sexual harassment, so that's covered. So quite frankly, bullying isn't, unless it is for one of those, you know, protected class reasons. For example, you know, we have laws against, you know, discrimination for, you know, race, sex, you know, religion, disability, anything like that. But bullying is not covered currently under legislation. So you can be mean and ugly and hateful to anyone, and as long as it's not, you know, due to a protected class status, you know, like race or religion or sex, you can get away with it. It's allowable. And so there's currently legislation being proposed to add bullying to that equation so that it is illegal. But right now it's not. So they're able to get away with it.
And I guess one of the main things really affecting a company's performance would be overall poor employee morale. I mean, when everybody's really kind of disgusted, you know, and not excited about coming to work, that's not good. Yeah. That's not good for a company, right?
No, right. Yeah, it's so it just seems so simple. But it really absolutely, there's data to back that up, that, you know, like I said, productive, happy employees are productive employees. And so this whole company culture is dependent on, you know, it, people from the top, you know, helping to take care of their people all the way, you know, down to the, you know, the youngest or newest or, you know, most entry-level employee. And so they often, like I said, aren't aware that this is happening. But if that is the company culture, then yes, it absolutely impacts their productivity. And in my head, I'm thinking, oh, it's so easy. You know, if you just made your people your primary focus, the numbers will come, the productivity will come, the sales will come. So yeah, it's just kind of a paradigm shift to you.
Seriously,
we need to somehow.
Don't you think leaders can sense whether there's good morale within their company and among their employees, or are some, you know, some leaders, CEOs or bosses just totally oblivious to it? How do you answer that? It seems to me they'd have to be aware.
You would think, but often in big companies, for example, they clearly, you know, can't get down to the, you know, the frontline employee level, for example. So they listen to their direct reports. So they're listening to senior level executives to, you know, kind of give them a view of what's happening in the rest of the company. And that's often, you know, where the cutoff is, and why CEOs are often not aware that it's, you know, going on, because it does typically happen at the, you know, lower level, mid-range executive, not the top levels. And so they're hearing happy stories from their top leaders, and even in some cases those leaders don't know. So yeah, they could be oblivious to it unless, like I said, they personally, you know, make it their mission to speak with employees at their level, you know, and make them feel comfortable being honest about what they're experiencing.
Well, let me ask you a question. In your expert opinion, then, what would you say are the qualities of a really good leader? How would you answer that?
Yeah, I think I heard this in the intro to your show. Authenticity for me is the primary. You know, the primary characteristic of a great leader. And the reason why I feel like that one word kind of sums it up is because when you are authentic, you know, that along with that becomes empathy and honesty and, you know, caring about, you know, other people than yourself. So for me, I would, you know, look for authenticity, because quite frankly, employees respond very, very favorably to a leader who may not be, you know, the smartest person in the room or the best speaker or the best presenter, but who is authentic and is honest with them. People respond to that, and that's what makes a great leader. They thrive in that type of environment.
Well, that's so important, and what's interesting is a lot of time leaders who, you know, people who are put in a position of leadership really don't know what that means and don't know how to be a leadership on their own. So it's I think you're onto something really important here. It makes a lot of sense. Lisa, this has been great chatting with you. We've gone through the half hour already. I want to point out we've been talking to Lisa Edmondson. She's based in Atlanta. She has a great website. It's leadershipreno.com, Leadership Reno, that stands for renovation or whatever you want to put it that way, but Leadership Reno, R-E-N-O.com. You go there, you'll find out all kinds of information on what can make a leader a better leader, and obviously that's anybody who works at a company would love to have a great leader. We all want good bosses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lisa,
exactly,
thank you
exactly.
So much. It's been very interesting indeed. I loved having you as a guest, okay?
Thank you, Doug. Appreciate it.
You are very, very welcome. Thank you, Lisa. And that'll do it for today, everybody. I hope you enjoyed this. We all want good bosses, so let's hope we all can get one. Thank you very much. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
That's it for now, folks. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We'll see you next time. Until then, take care. Bye for now.